Welcome to this message from the pulpit of West Main Baptist Church in Alexandria, Tennessee. This message is by Pastor Ben Simpson. To find out more about our church and its ministries, visit us on the web at westmainbaptist.com. Now may the Lord bless you in the hearing of His holy word.
Stand with me while I read a verse of God's word. This morning I'm reading out of John 8, 12th verse. It said, "Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life."
All right, let's go to God. Ask Him to help us today. God, we open up Your word, God, because we know that's where truth is found. And Father, I pray that every word out of my mouth today, Father, would be based on Your word, that would be soaked in truth and saturated in truth, God, that I would be but Your mouthpiece today. God, as we think about light and darkness, all the things that go along with that, Father, we pray that every one of us would be in the light as You are in the light. And we know there's no other light in the world but Jesus Christ. And so I pray, God, that everyone under the sound of my voice today, God, would know Christ and know light and reject, repulse darkness. Father, would You help us in Jesus' name? Amen. Indeed, Jesus Christ is the light of the world, which got me thinking about light bulbs. All right, so humor me here for a moment. How many televangelists does it take to screw in a light bulb or to change a light bulb? Only one. But in order for the message of light to continue, you got to send in your donation, right? All right. How many charismatics does it take to change a light bulb? It takes three. It takes three. One to cast it out and two to catch it when it falls. How many Baptists does it take to change the light bulb? Only one to change it, but then it takes nine others to say how much they like the old one better. How many Amish does it take to change a light bulb? What's a light bulb, right? That's what they say. And finally, how many Southern Baptists does it take to change a light bulb? Well, our initial response would be, change? And then after that, it would take 15, it would take one to change the light bulb, three committees to approve the changing of the light bulb, and then one to decide on how they're going to make the potato salad. All right. Let's get on some of those that aren't followers of Christ. How about agnostics? How many agnostics does it take to change a light bulb? Well, none, because agnostics aren't really sure if the light bulb exists or not. And then finally, how about atheists? How many atheists does it take to change a light bulb? The answer is only one. But they're still in darkness. They're still in darkness. Now that last one there has a bit of a bite to it. And underneath it there is an absolute truth. There's an absolute truth. But it's not just true of atheists, is it? It's true of every person that does not follow Jesus Christ. The Bible says that they are in darkness. It's true of those who are Christian in name only. Those who are nothing more than practical atheists. They name the name of Christ, but they don't follow Christ. It's true of the good old boy down the road, right down the road, right outside here, maybe even here today, who's trying to work his way to heaven. He's trying to be good enough to earn heaven. It's true of those practicing Judaism or Hinduism or Buddhism or Mormonism or Islam or animism or any other ism, you might add, to the religions of the world. They all are in the same place. They are in, the Bible says, darkness. Now, you might say, Pastor, how can you just dismiss all of the religions, all those other religions? I know you wouldn't say that, but there's someone that would say that. And my answer is simply this, because Jesus does. Amen? Jesus does. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. It's time that we got past, that we got back to being more concerned with what Jesus said than what is politically correct. Right? It's time that we get back to being more concerned about what Jesus said than what some celebrity said or some politician said. More concerned about what Jesus said than what we read in the newspaper or what we read on the internet. Or more concerned with what Jesus said than what daddy or granddaddy said. Guys, we got to get back to what Jesus said here. And in John 8, 1, 2, Jesus is clear. Look at it with me. Here's our text. John 8, 12. Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. Brothers and sisters, those seven words, I am the light of the world. They're life-changing. They're life-giving. So we're going to think on them for just a few moments this morning. I am the light of the world. We've already seen a few weeks ago that Jesus is the I am, right? That he's God. That's what he's saying there. Last week we saw that Jesus is the bread of life. And today we see that Jesus is the light of the world. So our big question is, it's really simple. What does Jesus mean by I am the light of the world? Right? It seems so simple at first, but it's got layer upon layer of what it means for us today. And there's something for every one of us in it. I believe that he means at least seven things this morning. First, when he says that I am the light of the world, when Jesus says I am the light of the world, he means that it's either Jesus or darkness. It's either Jesus or darkness. Those are only the two options. There are no other options. There's no thing in between. There's no other light than Jesus. People try as they might to grope around in darkness, to find their own light, to get where they're going on their own way. But the truth is, there is no light but Jesus, either Jesus or darkness. I grew up as the crow flies 20 miles from Mammoth Cave National Park. And I don't know if you've ever been on the tour there, but the big tour, the grand tour of the big Mammoth Cave. Of course, Mammoth Cave is long and it stretches for miles and miles. The whole area there around where I lived is called cave country or cave land. But in Mammoth Cave, when you take the grand tour, one of the most impacting moments of that cave tour is when you get underground and you're under there pretty good ways, and then they turn all the lights off. Right? Yeah. And all of a sudden, you literally feel like darkness envelops you, like it's almost suffocating. And I remember that so clearly. And immediately in your mind, you begin to panic. I did anyway, especially the first time. I began to panic, like, what if the lights don't come back on? And you can just feel anxiety begin to swell. What if I have to grope my way around here? What if I bust my head open on a stalactite or trip over a stalagmite or in Mammoth Cave? What if I walk off into a chasm and fall down hundreds of feet? They're in there. And that's what it's like, guys. That's what it's like for those who are walking around out here without Jesus Christ, groping around in darkness, just like it would be a Mammoth Cave to grope around in that darkness. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. And it can be devastating to the person. It can be disastrous. But that's what people are doing spiritually when they go out this life without Jesus Christ. They're groping around in darkness. They're doing the best they can, but it's not going to get them anywhere. It's going to get them to heartbreak. It's going to get them to disaster. They're deceived into thinking that they're really doing well, aren't they? Right? And even more so, they begin to like the darkness. I don't know about you all, but I had a tendency, especially growing up, to be a little bit afraid of the darkness. Maybe you have children. Maybe you yourself are still afraid of the dark in some sense. But let me say this, as true as it is that some people are afraid of darkness, it's as equally true that some people are afraid of light. Why is that? Why is it they're afraid of light? That's because light shows everything. It reveals everything. And sometimes people had rather not see what's actually there. There's a terror about light because much of what we see in the light of ourselves and our world, we'd rather be ignorant of. And so people just continue to grope about in the darkness. They'd rather do that, take their chances, so to speak, than to come to the light of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the light of the world. There's no middle ground. There's no alternative. It's either Jesus or darkness. That's the first thing. The second thing when he says, I'm the light of the world, is that Jesus' light is life. Jesus' light is life. Think about just for a moment how crucial light is to life on this planet. Isn't it? Just think for a moment I mean, I know you and I, we don't actually directly have to have light to live. I mean, we're not turning sunlight, photosynthesis into food or anything like that. But the plants that we eat do. Imagine just for a moment if all the plants that you eat were cut out. The sun just fell out of the sky, never shined again. And you could no longer eat. You would go hungry, wouldn't you? You say, well, I would just eat me a hamburger or I'd get me a big old steak or some chicken. Oh, no, no, no. Because those animals that we eat, they eat the plants too. And so life on this earth is utterly dependent on light from the sun. Biologically speaking, light is life. And here we have Jesus saying, look at this verse again, 8:12. I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. That means that as essential as light is to physical life, Jesus is as essential to spiritual life. You've probably heard before, N-O Jesus, N-O life, right? No Jesus, no life. And on the other side of that, K-N-O-W Jesus, K-N-O-W life, no Jesus, no life. To have Jesus is to have light, and to have light is to have life. But where does it come from? It comes from his very being. Look at John 1:1-4. John 1:1-4. And we see here, light is a big theme in the book of John as it talks about Jesus. John 1:1-4 says this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's talking about Jesus. Jesus is the Word. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Did you see that? That's where it comes from. It's in Jesus. It's who he is. The light is in him. In him was life. That's where the life comes from. His life is light itself. Jesus' light is life. Third, when Jesus says, I'm the light of the world, he means this. And this is beautiful, man. This is great right here. Anyone on the earth who will follow Jesus Christ will have the light of life. All right, I want to focus on anyone there, right? When Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Of the world. It's not just the light of Palestine. Not just the light of the USA. Not just the light of China. He's not just the light of the Jewish people. Or maybe Hispanics or Americans or whatever nationality, whatever ethnicity you want to put in there. He's not just the light of the rich or the middle class or the poor. He's not just the light of the Republicans or the Democrats. He's the light of the world. This is so beautiful. It doesn't matter who you are. Jesus is the light of the world. If you will follow Jesus, the light's yours. It doesn't matter what you've done. If you will follow Jesus, no matter how heinous the sin was, if you'll follow Jesus, you'll have the light of life. It's a cleansing light, isn't it? It's a purifying light. I declare that to you today that there is hope unto life for every person who will follow Jesus. Church, the Bible discounts no one, does it? It doesn't count on anyone. Anyone who believes on Jesus will be saved. You and I, we discount people. We get fed up with people. We don't say it out loud, but we in a sense say, to hell with that person. Right? But God never says that. God never says that. He at all times longs for that person to be saved. He wishes for none to perish. He delights not in the death of the wicked. Anyone who will call on the name of the Lord, anyone who will follow Jesus will have the light of life. Fourth, when Jesus says, I'm the light of the world, he means that those who truly follow Jesus do not walk in darkness. This is important here, right? Because there are those who pretend to follow Jesus. They put on airs. They put on a show. Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness. So if we take that and turn it on its head, if you're walking in darkness, you're not following Jesus. If you're walking in darkness, you are not following Jesus. There are even under the sound of my voice, because I know how crowds work, I'm sure that there are people here who have named Jesus, profess faith in Jesus, and should be in the light. But you're in the darkness. You're in the darkness because you're not really following Jesus. You're playing games, or you're still in love with your sin. Or maybe your sin has so gripped you that you can't let it go. You can't seem to let it go. You're trying to be light here in the church, but after you leave the church, you walk right back out into darkness and you do darkness. And the Bible says, stop dabbling in darkness. Get rid of the darkness. Come to the light. Follow the light. Listen to what it says in Ephesians chapter 5. 6 through 13, this is an important passage. As we think about those who follow Jesus, do not walk in darkness. Ephesians 5, 6 through 13. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they're exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. I beg you to search your heart this morning. Search your heart. Are you? No, let's go even better. Let's get a pay grade above you and me. How about, I beg you to let the Holy Spirit search your heart. Invite God to search your heart. Are you really a follower of Jesus Christ? The presence of the light or the absence of the light will be the indicator to you. Jesus says, he who follows me will not walk in darkness. And if you determine this morning that you are not a follower of Jesus and do not have the light of life, here's the beauty of it. I invite you today to come to the light, to receive the light, to get the light and to get life. That's the promise. That's the hope. That's the gift to you today. The fifth thing I want you to consider today ties in with what I just said. Number five ties in with number four. When Jesus says, I'm the light of the world, he means the opportunity for the light is dwindling. The opportunity is dwindling for the light. Every day, you and I experience the sunrise, light up the earth, and then the sunset and darkness falls on it. Now, don't get all technical on me, too scientific. I know the earth rotates and all that stuff, but to our eyes, it rises and it sets, doesn't it? Every day, you and I have a reminder that light is fleeting. That light, the opportunity for light is dwindling. Every day, I just wish we had just a few more moments, right? I just want to do a few more things outside before we go in. Or the kids, they want to play basketball for just another 5 minutes. Or ride their bikes for just another 5 minutes. Or whatever it is that you have on your agenda to do. You just want just a little more light. But the scripture says the opportunity is dwindling. It's fading. It's passing away. Night is coming when the light will be no more. That's exactly what Jesus tells us in John chapter 12. Verse 35 and 36. Jesus says this. John 12, 35. So Jesus said to them, for a little while longer the light is among you. Walk while you have the light, so that darkness will not overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke, and he went away, and he hid himself from them. Friend, Jesus, with hands out, with light in his hands, is offering you light today. He's offering you life. He's offering you himself. But that offer will not be held in perpetuity. It will not be forevermore. It has an end to it. While you have the offer, you'd better take it. While it's there before you, while you have the light, believe in the light. Notice, I think this is amazing. Notice that as Jesus spoke those things in John 12, what does it say he did? He went and hid from them, didn't he, right? He hid from them where they couldn't see him. He physically showed them the light is dwindling. It's going to be with them no more. And I say to you today, there's coming a day through death or when Christ returns, that night will fall. Your opportunity to receive the light will be past. The opportunity for light is dwindling. And I declare to you, as far as the timetable of prophecy and all those things, I have to believe that it's twilight, don't you? Right? That we're closer to sunset than we are to sunrise. Amen? It's twilight. It's getting darker. It's getting closer. Time is getting short. The Bible says today's the day of salvation. Don't you put it off. Believe on Jesus. Get right with Jesus before night falls. Sixth, when Jesus says, I'm the light of the world, he means this: we who follow the light are to reflect the light. If Jesus is the light of the world, we're to reflect that. If Jesus is light and we're his followers, then we're to reflect that light. We're not light collectors. We're light reflectors, aren't we? That's what we do. We're not light collectors. We're light reflectors. And that's why Jesus tells us, we who are his followers, in Matthew chapter 5:14, he tells us that we're the light of the world also. And this is not a contradiction to John 8:12. John 8:12 and Matthew 5:14 is not a contradiction. Matthew 5:14 says, you are the light of the world. He's talking, the you here is believers in Christ. You, me, we are the light of the world. And it's not a contradiction of John 8:12. Jesus is the light of the world and we are the light of the world. It's not a contradiction. Just like saying that the sun is the light of the earth and the moon is the light of the earth also. Right? Both are lights of the earth, but the sun is the source. And the moon simply reflects that light to all who will receive it. And so we reflect the light that comes from Jesus, who is the source. We do that. We reflect that light when we do two things. When we're joyfully obedient to Jesus, and when we share the gospel of Jesus. Those two things, right? We do it by our good deeds. Let your light so shine before men that they would see your good deeds and glorify the Father, Jesus goes on to tell them there in Matthew 5. So we do it through good deeds, and we also do it through the explicit sharing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray that you would be a light reflector. But you have to ask yourself this morning, is your life reflecting the light of Jesus Christ? I pray it is. But let me encourage you this morning. Oftentimes, it's we who are light reflectors that get the most discouraged because we think, my goodness, I'm doing my best to shine the light of Jesus, but I'm not hiding it under a bushel. But I feel like it's not making a difference. You are making a difference. You are. Your light is penetrating darkness. I know that sometimes it doesn't seem like it. But beloved, listen to me. The devil trembles at your light. Could your light be brighter? I'm sure it could. But the faintest of light, the devil trembles at. I mentioned earlier about being in the dark of Mammoth Cave. And one of the things that they also usually do is that after they turn the lights out, they light one small candle in this huge cave, and it lights up the whole room. It lights up the entire room, one candle. And so think about that for just a moment. Darkness is overcome by just a little bit of light. Darkness is overcome by just a little bit of light. And so I want to encourage you, shine your light and overcome darkness by reflecting the light of Jesus. Finally, number 7 this morning, when Jesus says, I'm the light of the world, he means that there's coming a day when the sun will replace the sun. When the sun, S-O-N, when the sun will replace the sun, S-U-N. I love this, man. It blows my mind. It amazes me. Jesus is the light of the world, metaphorically speaking. But dear, when there's coming a day when he will literally be the light of the world. Listen to the scripture. John's telling us about heaven here. About heaven, about the new heaven and the new earth. Revelation 21. Let's start in the 22nd verse and we'll just read down here. 21. Verse 22 through 27 of Revelation. John said, I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. And then notice this, and the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by the light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it in the daytime, for there will be no night there. Its gates will never be closed, and they'll bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. And nothing unclean and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. But notice, the city has no need. Heaven, the new earth, the city of God that's coming down out of heaven has no need for the sun. Because Jesus is the lamp of the city. Flip over one more chapter, Revelation 22, verse 5. And we see the same thing again. And there will no longer be any night, and they'll have no need of the light of a lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine it, and they'll reign forever and ever. Someday the sun, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, will replace the sun in the sky as our light. There won't be any need for it anymore. There's a need for it now. There's coming a day when there'll be no need for it. The light of Jesus will be enough. It'll be enough. Have you ever considered how awesome the sun in the middle of our solar system is? It's awesome. It is absolutely awesome. If you can't say amen, say wow. Because it is. I mean, if you just, I'm not going to burden you with the facts. Just go read an article on the sun. And you'll see how amazing, utterly amazing it is. You'll walk away saying, wow, but don't miss this right here. One day Jesus will replace the sun. He's going to replace the sun. And if the sun is wow, how much more so is Jesus? Right? Heaven will not be a downgrade. It's going to be an upgrade, right? And so if Jesus is going to replace the sun, and the sun is amazing, how much more so is Jesus Christ? Would you praise him today, church? Heaven is a trade up. Jesus is infinitely, infinitely awesome. Worship Jesus. Follow Jesus. Love Jesus. He's worthy. So worthy. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. Perhaps this morning, you want to walk in the light. God is beginning to open your eyes. And today, suddenly, you see the light of Christ has shone into your heart. And suddenly, you see it for what it is. It's darkness. And you say, I want to be in the light, but I do not know how. One weekend, author and pastor Paul Tripp, he gave his teenage son the permission to spend the weekend at his friend's house. And during the weekend, Paul received a call from the boy's mom that he was supposed to be at the house of. And the boy's mom said, he's not here. I just want to let you know your son never came here. You see, the boy's friend, the son's friend, had started to feel guilty about trying to cover and lie for Paul's son. And he told his mama about it. And she had the guts to call Paul and tell him. And after he hung up the phone with that guy's mom, you can imagine, right, what daddies and mamas do when their children have lied to them, right? Yeah. Oh, yes, Sean, that's right. Anger began to well up in him. And his wife, Luella, could see it. And Luella said, Paul, I think you need to go pray. And Paul said, no, I don't think I can pray for him right now. I want to kill him. And she said, no, I think you need to go pray for you, not for him, but for you. And he did. He went to his bedroom, Paul writes, I went to my bedroom to pray for God's help, and it hit me that because of his love, God had already begun a work of rescue in my son's life. God was the one who pressed in on the conscience of my son's friend, causing him to confess to his mom. God was the one who gave her the courage to make that difficult call to me. And God was the one giving me time to get a hold of myself before my son came home. Now, rather than wanting to rip into my son, I wanted to be part of what God was doing in grace in this moment of rebellion, deception, hurt, and disappointment. So after his son got home, he gave him a few minutes to get settled in, a few hours just to get settled in. And then he went to him and said, son, can we talk? And you know children tremble. Didn't you used to tremble when mom and dad said that to you? What now? And so Paul asked him, do you ever think about how much God loves you? And his son said, sometimes. Well, do you ever think about how much God's grace operates in your everyday life? And his son looked up and he didn't really know what to say. Do you know how much God's grace is working in your life even this weekend? And immediately his son knew, his dad knew. He said, who told you? And Paul said, you have lived your life in the light. You've made good choices. You've been an easy son to parent. But this weekend, you took a step toward the darkness. You can live in the darkness if you want to. You can learn to lie and deceive. You can use your friends as your cover. You can step over God's boundaries. Or you can determine to live in God's light. I'm pleading with you. Don't live in the darkness. Live in the light. And Paul turned and walked away. And he heard his son from behind him saying, Dad, don't go. He turned around and he saw a tear in his son's eyes. And he said, Dad, I want to live in the light, but it's so hard. And then he asked him this one question to his dad. Can you help me? Friend, maybe this morning, that's your heart's cry. I want to live in the light, but I don't know how. And then your question to God is, can you help me? And I declare to you this morning, church, God always answers yes to that prayer. Every time. This morning, in just a moment, if you're in the darkness, Jesus Christ has in his hands, he's offering you light, just like this picture on the slide right here coming up. He's offering you light as a gift, hand outstretched. Would you come forward this morning and receive it? Would you? And even as a believer this morning, you're dabbling in darkness. You need victory over it. You need separation from it. You need to come back to who you are. You're not that person. You're a saint. You're a child of light. Would you get on your face before God and ask God to forgive you? Would you come to Jesus again? God always answers yes to that prayer. Will you help me? And I want to let you know, I want to answer that. I want to answer yes to that as well. Come forward, take my hand. I would love to begin to pray with you. Here's my prayer. May you follow the light. Jesus is offering light. May you follow the light and live. That's what you get from the light. Life.
Thank you for joining us for this message from Ben Simpson, pastor of West Main Baptist Church in Alexandria, Tennessee. If you would like more information about our church or about how you can obtain other messages, please call us at 615-529-2813. 615-529-2813. We are also on the internet at westmainbaptist.com. As we leave you, may you trust in Christ alone to the glory of God.